5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Ferrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. Well, bad news in Salt Lake. It looks like Joker has hurt his knee. He just left the court, and he was limping. It was knee to knee, and he just left and went inside the tunnel. And so everybody's freaking out and tripping. Obviously, the Denver franchise's season hanging in the balance. If that guy has something wrong with his knee, if he's injured his knee, like Kawhi Leonard, right? Kawhi was knee on knee, boom, he's done. And he's not playing this year. That's what I'm, you know, gathering, right? If they lose Joker, they're finished. But I was saying before is that I think he's, you know, I love this team, to be honest with you, the makeup of this team. Like, I just think, you know, for my money, and I know they haven't shown it yet, they're whatever, 2-1, whatever. But look, and I know they lost to the Cavs the other day, so what? Like, I just don't even care, right? I'm telling you that that team is, I like their length. I like their athleticism. I think Gordon can play. He's got 15 tonight, 7-7 from the floor. I think Porter can play flat out. They just gave him a boatload of money. He's not going anywhere. I think he's enormous, too. You know, for my money, 6'10", 220. He's, you know, 11-4 and 2.5 per game. He's not having a great game tonight yet. But I guarantee you, without Joker in there, he's got to pick up the slack and start putting it in the hole. I won't be surprised at all if he does that in the second half. But I like Barton. I like Morris. Now they have Jeff Green, who they got from the Brooklyn Nets. I think Jeff Green can flat out play. And they also have Jamichael Green, another guy, 6'8", 227. And then Austin Rivers. I mean, he's moved around a little bit. That's fine. I still think the guy can play. His numbers are disastrous this year. Obviously, he doesn't get any burn. He's played 6 minutes tonight. And they got Bol Bol. He's not even playing. But I like their makeup. I like the look of this team, the size, the length, the athleticism. I mean, you go Joker, Gordon, and Porter in that lineup every night with Morris, Barton. And remember, they're playing without Murray. Murray injured his knee. So when I'm watching them, I'm telling you, the sheer makeup of that team, the size, length, athleticism, youth, they're not old. I think they're, frankly, built for success. I like big teams. I really do. I know everybody's in the age of shooting threes and ankle-breaking step-back point guards and shooting guards. That's great. I still believe, and I'm sure I'd love to hear Mafia's thoughts on this. I believe it's, I still think it's a big man's game. I always have. I always will. I think guards are great. I think guards make plays. I think guards are fast. I think guards can shoot and can break ankles and pass and steal and create havoc and run in transition. And you got to have a smart point and a good shooting guard, without a doubt. I got no problem with that. But Frontline City, Mafia, who is 6'5", 240, I put him on my team. We won 3 or 4 titles, boom, because we had the biggest team. And tell me I'm wrong that, you know as well as I do, right now I have 6'7", 275, 6'5", 250, 6'4", 220, 6'4", 210, 6'3", 220, and 2 guards. That's my team. And, you know, you already know what we do every night. I mean, we're playing the second best team tomorrow. They can beat us. That's fine. Anyone can beat us. We've lost games, championships. We don't lose any other games. You know how we roll, and we roll big. And do you believe that the NBA, you can still win a championship with a big front line?
Yeah, you absolutely can, as long as they have the right skill set. I mean, if you're playing, you know, the back down center, then that's the center of your, you know, no pun intended, of your team, your offense. You know, you pound it into him and it goes out from there. That era is, you know, done right now in the NBA. But when you got the guys that they do that have that high, when you have, you know, Jokic who can bring up the ball and still drain a three, when you have, you know, Gordon, who's a long wing, but, you know, the guy's a face-up player with, you know, a lot of skill. You the same thing, you know, with some of these other guys that they have. They're not a bunch of guys that are big and tall and back-to-the-basket players. They are lanky, and they get up and down the court and can play all different positions. So when you have that kind of height, then it works in your favor. Then you have, you know, different matchups that it could be a problem for other teams. I mean, the last two MVPs were Joker and, you know, your boy in Milwaukee, Giannis. So both those guys are huge. You know, Durant's one of the best players, and he's a long, lanky guy. As long as you got the extra skill set, that height works out great for you.
There's no doubt. We block 10 shots a game, get every rebound. You cannot score on this inside without a massive problem. You have to alter your shot. I mean, we use our size to our advantage, and that's as simple as it is.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks, find a penny, and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge right here. And you won't get Tomey. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, so I was telling you the story today of I was over the weekend and you know, I don't really get into fights anymore, Mafia. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I mean, I've certainly been in my fair share of fights. I don't deny that. I've been in a bunch of fights. So let's be clear. You want to play any way you want to play, I'll play. You want to play dirty, I'm your guy. You want to get chippy, physical, whatever you want, I'll do whatever you want. But I don't really get in fights anymore. I just play. You know, I played with my son for, you know, a couple of years now with men. And he's a terrific player. He's very hard to guard because he's got a great handle. And he's got a great drag and drag and go and drop step and dribble drive and juke, and he's got all he's got all these moves, and no one can really guard him, right? So when I'm out there with him, a couple times over the years, the last couple of years, you know, would get in an argument or something like that. And it seems to really bother him. And, you know, he said some things to me and about it away from the court. You know, we go out and we get food after we play, and we always do that every day. And he'll say, like, you know, why do you do that? He's like, you know, it obviously bothers him, right, that I get into it with people playing. And, you know, I'm not going to deny that I've gotten into it with people. And, you know, Monty has played with me for years and years. He knows I'm capable of arguing with people and fighting. That's fine. And like, I'm admitting my end of it. Right. So, but once I started playing with him and he started giving me the business about that, you know, why do you fight with people? I stopped doing it, like a conscious effort to not, get in fights, to argue, to talk when I'm playing or whatever. I'm not a smack talker when I play. I don't talk shack to other people when I'm playing about, like, you know, but I will say all the time when someone calls a candy foul, I'll call it candy. I'll call it sugar. I'll call it weak, and it's candy. That's sweet stuff. You know, you can't be 260 pounds and go to the hole and you don't make the layup, but you call a body foul on the guy guarding you that he bumped you, and you're 260 pounds. So the other day I was playing and this guy did it, and I was like, bro, it's such candy. I go, you're 260 pounds. And he goes, and this guy went off on me like, you have never seen anything like it. And you know exactly who I'm talking about, Mafia. And all I have to do is tell you what team it is, and you'll know exactly who it is. You don't even have to, you guess right now who it is. Who's 260 pounds with a beard? Plays on the,
DG.
The always, the what?
DG.
Yep. So sure enough, you got it right. So we're playing them tomorrow in the league. We're playing this team tomorrow in the league.
Mafia, you always kick their ass.
Yeah. Over the last 8 years, how many times have we ever lost to them? Ever?
Maybe once. And I can't even remember that one.
Not even once. We have never lost to them ever. Not once ever in 8 years. In a regular season or playoff game, never once have we ever lost. We were down to them in a playoff game, if you remember, by 16 at the half, and we still beat them by 10. And they've never beat us. And you know as well as I do that that drives that dude nuts. Like, is there anyone at that place that gets more crazy than that dude when it comes to losing to us?
No, we're losing in general. Anyone? I mean, that guy's been thrown in the league, what, 3 different times? How many times have been told he's not going to be allowed back, and they still let him back?
So here's the deal. So this guy starts screaming and yelling at me, and he's saying all this stuff about, you know, I make all these calls. I don't make any calls. What calls do I make? I mean, I don't even talk anymore. I don't say a word. I just play. I call fouls only when my shot is completely altered. That's when I call a foul. If you knock my hand off as I'm shooting and I can't even get the shot off, I call it a foul. It's that simple. Anything else, I'll let you bang with me. I banged with Mafia 1,000 times. We don't even call fouls on one another. We have punched each other practically playing, and we don't call fouls. We just play. And that's a fact. And you know it, and I know it. Here's the deal. Guy starts screaming and yelling at me, and I finally walked up to him when we got done playing, and I said, listen, I gotta tell you, you gotta stop, because I just don't care about any of this. Do you think I care about a Sunday morning run with you at the gym playing on a Sunday morning for 2 hours against a bunch of fat dudes and old washed up white dudes and a bunch of losers? Do you think I give a rat's ass about any of this? Do you really think that I care about this? And the guy goes, I know you do. And I said, Bro, you are so tripping. It's not even funny. I want to get a run in. I want to get a sweat in. I want to shoot and score. I want to play well. But winning or losing in a pickup game, to me, is meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless. So then he says to me, well, we'll see Wednesday. Just so you know, we're not friends on Wednesday. And I said, I go, what? Are we playing you Wednesday? He goes, yeah, we're not friends. And I go, oh, okay. Well, that's fine too, because you've never beaten us once in 8 years. And he goes, well, that's all coming to an end. I go, oh, you mean like those 9 banners I got on the wall? I go, dude, I go, there's nothing you can do to me beyond shooting me with a 12 gauge to stop what's already happened. Mafia, when you win 9 championships, does it even matter if you win another one or lose? I mean, I've lost 5 straight in the finals, but does it matter when you already got 9 of them? I mean, honestly.
Not nearly as much. No, especially not compared to not having any and always losing. I mean, they even stole the best player on our team and couldn't win with him.
They have never won it. And so what he needs to do is understand that until you win one, shut the Pharrell up. Just shut the Pharrell up. You've got nothing. You've never won anything ever. And you think I care about playing rec pickup on a Saturday or Sunday? That matters to me? Or arguing with you about your candy ass foul calls? When you weigh 260 and you go to the 10 and some dude bumps you and you call a foul because you just couldn't make the layup? Just go to the other end, bro. If you can't finish, just go to the other end. Don't call a weak ass body foul. What is that? When you weigh 260, there's no such thing as a body foul. When you drive to the hole as much as that dude does, as a bull in a china shop, he's as big as Zion Williamson. And if you can't make the layup, don't cry to me, Argentina, when you miss and some little skinny dude bumps you. I mean, it's that simple. And then he thinks, like, this game to me tomorrow night, that's great. If they win, congratulations. Good job. Nice job. Look up on the wall. 9 of them. Trust me, Mafia, when we were playing in the championship game, when the COVID started, we beat that team by 20 twice. We were going to win our 9th. You know it. I know it. Killer's right. They should just put the banner up now. We were undefeated, and we never lost, and we were going to win that game. You know that, right? Mafia won't even respond. That's how right I am. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
I find this all very interesting because, like, Mafia knows it's true. We were going to win again another title when they shut it down for COVID because we beat this team by 20 every time we play them. I mean, we destroy them. And everyone knows it. They know it. We know it. So that would have been our 9th. And I admit we've lost 5 straight finals. But Mafia knows this is true as well. The 5 times we lost, the last one we lost was on the half court overtime buzzer beater. The kid threw a half court shot like a baseball from the outfield and it went in. That's a terrible way to lose. And then the 4 before that was the ringer team where a guy literally paid $10,000 for, you know, 8 black guys from the hood to come play in the league. And they came and they won every title 4 straight. And they beat us by 8. 6-4-2 in the 4 title games from 8-2. We got it down to 2. We could play anybody. Mafia knows it's true. So you saw us lose all 5 of those. And I mean, it sucks losing. I won't deny it. I hate it. But what's amazing is how we get there every time. and how we're always in it, and we're the hardest team to play in the history of the league, bar none. There's been, you know, I guess 8 years and 32 or, you know, or something like that. I don't think it's that many, but like, I don't even remember when they started. There's no way there's 32 banners in that gym, but there's at least 20 something. There's probably 20, 25 banners. But all I know is, you know, it's true. There's no team that's ever had what we've done, being in 18 championship games.
No, and there's been some, you know, awesome teams that come through there, but none of them lasted. I mean, they came in there, played season, maybe two, and that was it. You know, you never had the longevity that our team had with the same players coming through and playing ball together and, you know, the fundamentals in the right way. So, you know, it's a dynasty.
That's how we played, fundamentals and continuity and the sameness of the group. We had just so many guys that knew how to play, you know, motion offense, ball movement and screens and cutting and backdoors and pick and roll and just straight like butter. We had it down to a science. And now, like I told you last week, we played the team that beat us by 50 in the title game 5 years ago. They beat us by 50. 5-0, you know, half a dime. They beat us by 50. We played them the other night. 5 years later, they came back together as like a band, like they reformed like a band. Like, who did I say today on the show? Duran did their like 15th album, and they haven't done it in 40 years. That's how long it's been since they dropped an album. And they dropped one. And I'm like, that's like this, you know, team. Bottom line is, we're back together again playing. And, you know, we played this team last week and they beat us by 50. We beat them by 30. So 5 years and a lot of beer and sex and sandwiches. And they were not nearly the team that slaughtered us. They were just like a bunch of old dudes. They were 18 when they slaughtered us, and they were 23 now and fatter, slower, and drunker, and we annihilated them. I mean, we wiped them off the floor, and still with like this old team of dudes that know how to play basketball. It's changed a little bit over the years. Pieces. It got a couple different pieces. Like we got a guy now, Chad, who's been on this show before. Last week when he was at the Titans game or whatever, that was a great call that he made on the show. It was hilarious, but he shoots NBA threes. I mean, a guy pulls up from 35 feet. He's like, he shoots from the logo. The guy's nuts. And he makes them. He makes some of them. And I know it drives my teammates nuts when he pulls up, and shoots these 40 footers. They hate it, but I'm always like, look, when he hits half of them, what are you going to say? I mean, the guy scores 30 a week, you know, shooting bad shots, but half of them go down. I don't want to hear it. You know, you have to adapt to players, right? Like if you don't like a guy on a team, they always complain to me because it's my team or whatever. And whatever, I'm the alleged, you know, builder and whatever you want to call it, recruiter and, you know, kind of quasi, coach. And I'm like, I'm the one who puts it together. So they always cry to me of the players I choose, but I've never choosed a bad team. I put together really good teams. Mafia, I put on the team. None of them knew him and he won four titles. 6'5", 240. I'm not stupid. I mean, the guy's a monster. I have guys that are just like him. I had a guy 6'9", big white country club. My boy could block seven shots a game. He couldn't hit a layup to save his ass, but he could block seven shots a game and alter every shot in the lane and get rebounds like galore. And the guy, I mean, just galore. And now I got Coco back, 6'7", 280. I mean, he is just a freight train, a monster, unguardable, unstoppable. And if the guy shows up for the game, which is a big if, but if he shows up, it's just your worst nightmare. Your worst nightmare. He played at Rutgers. The guy's no joke. You give him the ball. If he shows up for the game, like if he shows up and decides he's going to play that day, he's unstoppable. And then I got Clark Kent, 6'5", 250. The guy played 4 years of Division I basketball. He's an absolute freak. And he's the nicest guy in the world with glasses on, three babies on his arms. He's got little kids, a stroller, the wife with him with a backpack, the whole deal. But then when he takes off his glasses and shirt, he's Superman. I mean, the guy is absolutely a freak on the basketball court. And with those two right there, it's just a nightmare for teams. Then you add all these guys, shooter that shoots threes. You got me. I can shoot threes. I can go inside. I can finish inside. And we got a kid 6'4", 220, and he's 23 years old. And the guy can absolutely fly and dunk and finish and do everything. I'm the oldest, you know, Killer and I are the oldest dudes on the team. We're two old guys. And we still can ball flat out. I only play like 15 minutes now, Mafia. I go hard three times for 5 minutes. I go as hard as I can on that NBA court for 5 minutes and up and down nonstop for 5 to 6 minutes. I may go 18 minutes a game max. And then the rest of it, I just sit on the sideline and scream, nice dunk. Because all we do, we're so big, 6'7", 6'5", 6'4", 6'4", 6'3 and a half, and two guards. That's it. And it's fun. So we're going to play this team tomorrow night. And every night that we have a game, we always say what the spread is. And we've covered every week. So what would you put the spread at tomorrow, Mafia? We're the best team. They're the second best team. They want revenge. They've never beat us once in 8 years. They hate us. They want to kill us. They want to hurt us. They want to maim us. They want to literally fist fight us, everything. And we always seem to find a way against them. And we're playing them tomorrow night. What would you put the number at?
The same guys that are usually on the team are on them again?
Well, they have the same team. Plus, they have the kid. You don't remember him probably, but his name was John, the blonde-haired kid. Just the greatest scorer since Ryan Matthews and Brendan. But he hurt his elbow. And so he hurt his arm playing in the league, and he couldn't keep playing. He hurt his elbow, and he literally couldn't shoot when he played. He played like three games, scored like 35 a night for him, and then hurt his elbow, and he was done. Now he's back, and he's healthy, and he's playing, and he's very good. And then they have a big guy that's like 6'4", 210, that I can guard. He's good. He can score on me. And I can definitely score on him. So he's like a good player. But if Coco or Superman are on him, he's not doing anything.
All right. Well, before you told me the mending those two pieces, I was going to say like 33 and a half. So to give a little bit more respect, given that, you know, they've added some guys that have some talent, we'll say 25 and a half.
So the spread's 25?
And a half. Can't forget the hook.
I don't think we can beat them by 25, but we did win last week by 29 and the week before by 22. So who knows? Maybe you're right. But I think they're too good to be beaten by 25. I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, 8-9 points. Just because they're solid. And they got Paulie, and they got Danny, and they got Doc, and they got Alex. I don't think – I think those guys are decent for sure, but I don't think they're anything to worry about. I mean, they can make some shots if no one's on them. Other than that, if you're on them, they're not doing anything. But I think they're tough. So they rank the teams. We're obviously number one, and they're number two, so we'll see what happens. But this World Series game is so bad. It's 5-1 in the eighth. It's terrible. I can't even watch it. That's how boring it is. I mean, that you have to say something about, like, I'm all for the Braves winning. I really am, because I don't like the cheaters. But I've tried to watch this game like 3 or 4 times tonight, and it's so dull, just absolutely so dull, boring, and miserable that I can't even watch it. That cannot be a good thing for Major League Baseball, that their World Series game one is such a it's a funeral procession. That's how bad it is. I have no idea what's happening, but there's – I mean, it's so boring. I've had more fun at church. I mean, I really have. It is – oh, my God. I don't even know what's going on there. Tomorrow, game two again in Houston. I got to roll with the Braves again.
You may may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever panicked at realizing you've lost your lucky troll doll, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So, not that I want to get into it that much, but the L.A. Sheriff, Fire Chief, ordered to cooperate in the Kobe Bryant crash photo lawsuit. I still, I get it from her standpoint, from Vanessa Bryant's standpoint. What she lost is tantamount to just cruelty. Losing your daughter and your husband in a helicopter crash, you don't wish that on your worst enemy. I don't bemoan the fact that she's upset and suing people for the photos that they put in the papers and everything else. She found out about the crash via social media, which is, you know, disturbing enough as it is. She found out her husband was dead and daughter on Twitter. So that's also something you wouldn't want to happen to you, right? But, you know, and I absolutely understand, fair enough, what she's doing, suing everybody. But I frankly don't see what point it serves at the end of the day. I really don't. What are you going to get? We already know that they did a horrible thing in posting those pictures. We already know that the sheriff's department and all those idiots that did the things they did, sending out photos of Kobe Bryant dead, were the dumbest thing they'd ever done in their career that's now over. What do you want? Do you want them to kill themselves? What are you going to get out of it? Money? She doesn't need money. She'll never need money ever again as long as she lives. Trust me. The Kobe Bryant legacy will live on forever. And so will his shoe brand and his clothing brand and everything else. And you know it as well as I do, Mafia, that she's swimming in money. So she's not doing it for money. She's doing it for principle, if you ask me. And I don't see what purpose it serves. At the end of the day, I get why she's doing it, fair enough. But I don't see the end game. The end game is what? She's going to get all the sheriffs. She's going to get all the media. Who's she going to get? I mean, she's after everybody. And the fire chief and everybody else. At the end of the day, no one's coming back. As grim as that sounds, all the people that died in that helicopter crash are gone. It's brutal. It is absolutely brutal to hear that. There's no denying it, but it's the reality of it. It is what it is. Mafia, would you disagree with that? Like, look, I get it, but I don't get it. You know what I mean? Like, I get what you're doing, but what's the point of it? It can't be money. It's to make people pay for doing that to her husband and daughter, right? It has to be. She wants those people to pay for what they did. Publicly ruin their careers, get them fired, have them destroyed like her family was, I guess. I mean, that's got to be why she's doing it, because she ain't bringing back her daughter and Kobe. And I hate to say it, but it's the reality of it. Am I wrong? I mean, honestly, like, this is the story that never ends. It just keeps coming back every month since it happened. It just won't ever end. When are we ever going to get over that helicopter crash? When are we ever going to just be done with it? And it happened. It was the worst thing ever. And it was just traumatic, horrific, PTSD, everybody. It's a nightmare. But at some point, don't you just have to let it go? I mean, honestly.
Yeah, I get what, like you said, I get why she's coming after him, you know, to make sure, to stop that, make sure it doesn't happen. You want to make an example, make sure people do the same kind of thing. But you don't want that kind of thing to happen to anybody, especially your family. But, you know, to what end is there? So once things are done and once the, you know, proper people are held accountable, how much further can it really go? And it just, like you said, drags on. It's been on and on and on. It's been years now. So who knows when this is going to end?
It's just absolutely crazy. One other thing from that World Series game, Charlie Morton actually, Mafia, broke his fibula in that game. That's why he left the game. He landed. Everybody thought it was his ankle. He broke his leg. He broke his fibula when he landed awkwardly, apparently, in that game. He left after three innings. He's finished. He's done for the series. Kaput. Goodbye. That's crazy. Can you believe that?
Yeah, because even when you watch the video, it doesn't look like anything, really, you know, and obviously you never know how people land or the little things that happen, because he walked off as far as I saw, so I don't think it was like, you know, where he broke the bone and they're carrying him off. I think, you know, it's probably just some kind of non-displaced fracture that's obviously broken in some way, but, you know, it's crazy to watch the video, see that happen, and then the guy's done for the whole World Series because somehow the leg broke. It didn't look that bad, but you know, somehow you just twist it a little wrong way. When you come down, you land awkwardly in the grass, and he's done for the World Series, which just sucks for him. He was pitching great. He did a great job. Look how, you know, well this team's doing off of his start, and that's going to be it.
So Stan Bowman had a bad day. The president of the Blackhawks stepped down in Chicago, and by the end of the day, he stepped down as the GM of the 2022 U.S. Olympic men's hockey team after what happened with the Blackhawks. And the reality of it is, you know, he's done with both jobs. He said, in light of what's happened today, I think it's in the best interest of USA Hockey for me to step aside. I'm grateful to have been selected and wish our team the very best in Beijing. The Blackhawks released results of a law firm's investigation into the sexual allegations, assault allegations against former video coach Brad Aldridge. A former player said Aldridge allegedly sexually assaulted him in 2010. Bowman and the vice president of hockey ops resigned, both of them, following the investigation. Senior leaders within the Blackhawks organizations were made aware of the allegations on May 23rd, but decided not to take action until after the team's run to the Stanley Cup title. We heard today that Aldridge got to get a ring and got to spend 2 days with the Stanley Cup. The guy that sexually assaulted players got to party with the Stanley Cup and dance around with his ring. The decision to take no action from the May 23rd to June 14th had consequences. He had made sexual advances allegedly on an intern on the team. So Aldridge is the guy they're blaming for all of this. But the entire front office is basically gone. And because they brushed it under the rug, the NHL fined the Blackhawks $2 million, with $1 million going to fund local organizations in and around Chicago that provide counseling and training for support assistance to survivors of sexual and other forms of abuse. I got to tell you, just on the surface, that $2 million fine from the NHL to me is a joke. It should be $20 million. What is $2 million with the amount of money that the Blackhawks make, and the worst player on the team makes more than that? The absolute guy on the team that doesn't play 1 minute ever, that's a scratch sitting up in a press box, makes more money than $2 million. So that's like paying a dinner bill for the Blackhawks. The NHL giving them $2 million is like them going to dinner. That's basically what they hear. Here's $2 million. $2 million. Do you understand in professional sports today, $2 million is like $100 to you and me. It really is. So Bowman released a statement and seemed to deflect some of the blame. And he said, I relied on the direction of my superior that he would take appropriate action. Looking back now, he did not handle the matter promptly. I regret assuming he would do so. He's like blaming his boss. I mean, that's crazy in itself. He still doesn't get it, apparently. The Blackhawks wrote a letter to their fans. No one wants to hear that. We're going to do better, is what they said. It really is amazing when you think about it, that it happens now all the time. There's a, we already went through the Michigan State Nassar. The guy was, you know, basically assaulting gymnasts for decades and sexually assaulting them. And then now they're talking about some guy at Michigan, a doctor at Michigan with the football program that was raping players back in the day in the 70s and 80s. That was today I saw that story, and they're protesting in Ann Arbor on the campus, all these former football players that got raped by this guy, sexually assaulted by him. And now you got, you know, the Blackhawks, you've got the sexual harassment problems with the Washington football team. Incidentally, Snyder, did you see that today, Mafia, that the NFL is not going to release any of that? None of their emails?
Of course not. They protect their own.
Oh, my God. How crazy is that? But they'll destroy, fair enough, John Gruden had it coming, but that all got released.
Well, he's not one of the owners. He's one of the peasants. He's a peasant. You know, he's just a guy that they pay to do stuff. He's not the guy with the money. He's the guy getting paid by the guy with the money. So we could sacrifice him. We could throw everyone else under the bus. We could, you know, go after Tom Brady, the Patriots, you know, all these guys who've gotten DUIs. But you know what? When it comes to an owner, you know, listen, they pay Goodell's salary. They're his boss. So we got to go easy on them. You know, they are the shining examples of the NFL. I mean, just look at Indianapolis with the Colts. Like, they came down a lot harder on the president that got the DUI or something like that. And then you have Ursae. The owner, Ursae, comes through, and it's like, oh, well, you know what? Just don't go to two games.
Yeah. But I find it staggering that they're not going to release it. Like Goodell said, we're not releasing any of that.
No, because then it made Snyder look terrible, and I'm sure they'd have to make him sell the team then.
They don't want to show their dirty laundry. Which is, it's crazy. But, I mean, look what they just did to Gruden. It's like I said, but, you know, like I said, Gruden had it coming. But can you imagine that, think about that for a second, John Gruden's, that his career ended that way? I mean, honestly, can you even believe it? Like, that he's going to disappear from the face of the earth. Literally, where's he going to work now? They're not working in sports. TV, are you really going to hire that guy? Seriously. Like, I want to see the TV executive that says, you know what, let it go. Let bygones be bygones. He just doesn't like, you know, he doesn't like gays, and he doesn't like anybody, you know, but he's a, you know, homophobe. He's a racist. He doesn't like blacks. He doesn't like anybody. But, you know, why don't we give him a TV job? He's pretty good on TV. I want to see the guy that actually lets him forget everything he did and gives him a job. I want to see that guy. Because in this country, you get like 40 cracks. You don't get like two. You don't get, you know, two or three. You get 40. But his nine lives are up to me with what he did, as far as I'm concerned.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, before I get out of here, this is a good game. Denver up 93-91 on the Jazz, 10.5 left in Salt Lake Shakers. Knicks 112-99 over the Sixers, blew them out at the Garden. Lakers win in overtime, 125-121. I had the Spurs in 4.5. Cover! Warriors, winners by 8. Too bad they were laying 9. Mavericks, I hit to win. Rockets, plus 11. Dallas wins at 116. 106. Baseball, it's 6-2 now, Braves, at the end of 8 innings in a game that's taken over 4 hours. I mean, it is just a nightmare that that game is still on. I mean, honestly, that's just ridiculous. As for hockey, you got the Wild up 2-1 on the Canucks in Vancouver after two. The Ducks and Jets are tied at ones in the third early. And then Kraken, I'm on tonight. They're up 4-1 in Seattle after two periods on the hapless Canadiens. It's unbelievable how they have fallen. They were in the Stanley Cup Finals. Now they can't win a game. The Lightning beat the Penguins 5-1. I hit that game in Pittsburgh. The Flames over the Devils 5-3. The Knights beat the Avs. The last place Vegas Knights win a game, a big game in Rotto against the Avs, who are favored to win the Stanley Cup but can't get out of their own way lately. And the Predators won a big game. They beat the tough Sharks 3-1 in Nashville. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast. Good night.